Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 11, chapter entitled The Summary Description of the Mahapurush.
What's the text?
24.
Text number 24. Dvija risha basa esha brahma yoni swayam drik.
Dvija risha basa
esha brahma yoni swayam drik. Swami swamahima paripuno swayaita.
Swamahima paripuno.
Srijati harati pati jyakya yana vrittaksho.
Srijati harati pati jyakya yana vrittaksho.
Vivritta ive niruktas tat parair atmalabhya.
Vivritta ive niruktas tat parair atmalabhya.
Drija rishapa. The best of the Brahmanas. Saesha. He alone. Brahmayoni.
The source of the Vedas.
Swayam Drik.
Who
is self
illuminating.
Swamahima. In his own glory. Paripurna. Perfectly complete. Maya. By the material energy. Cha. And. Swaya. His own. Etat.
This universe.
Svijati. He creates. Harati. And withdraws. Pati. He maintains. Iti akya. Conceived of as such. Anabrita. Uncovered. Aksha. His transcendental awareness. Vivrita. Materially divided. Iva. As if. Nirukta. Described. Tatparai. By those who are devoted to him. Atma. As their very soul. Labhya. Realizable. Translation and profile by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. O best of Brahmanas, he alone is the self-luminous, original source of the Vedas, perfect and complete in his own glory. By his material energy, he creates, destroys, and maintains this entire universe. Because he is the performer of various material functions, he is sometimes described as materially divided, yet always remains transcendentally situated in pure knowledge. Those who are dedicated to him in devotion can realize him to be their true soul. Translation responsibly. O best of Brahmanas.
O best of Brahmanas.
He alone is the self-luminous.
He alone is the self-luminous.
Original source of the Vedas.
Original source of the Vedas.
Perfect and complete in his own glory.
Perfect and complete in his own glory.
By his material energy.
By his material energy.
He creates, destroys, and maintains this entire universe.
He creates, destroys, and maintains this entire universe.
because he is the performer of various material functions. He is sometimes described as materially divided. Yet he always remains transcendentally situated. In pure knowledge. Those who are dedicated to him in devotion can realize him to be their true soul. Purport. Srila Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur recommends that we become humble by practicing the following meditation. The earth, which is always visible to me, is the expansion of the lotus feet of my Lord, who is always to be meditated upon. All moving and non-moving living beings have taken shelter of the earth and are thus sheltered at the lotus feet of my Lord. For this reason, I should respect every living being and not envy anyone. In fact, all living entities constitute the Kastubha gem on my Lord's chest. Therefore, I should never envy or deride any living entity. By practicing this meditation, one can achieve success in life. Om Gyan Tumadandasya Gyanamjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Apatantikam Pancha Kalpatu Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, it is discussed that Tadiyana Samachara. Tadiya means that which is non-different from the Lord. That which is non-different from Krishna should be offered the same respect as Krishna. We should have the same respect for Krishna's paraphernalia as we do for Krishna himself. This is Krishna consciousness. Like that. Prabhupada explains in the introduction of the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, that the Bhagavatam does not describe God or only discuss God. It discusses God and his energies. That is the absolute truth. And that is why the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Paramahamsa Samhita, or the topmost scripture of all Vedic literatures. Because it describes God in relation to his entire creation, material and spiritual. And that is the absolute truth. That is the perfect understanding of God. Otherwise, one will concentrate only on God. But God without his energies is not the absolute truth. It is only a partial understanding. Just like if people in some religions of the world, they say God, we must glorify God. But Bhagavatam says, not just God, but God and his energies. We must understand how everything relates. So, it is said, Tadiyanam. Tadiyanam means that Krishna and those things related to Krishna should be given the same respect. Krishna's paraphernalia is as worshipable as Krishna himself. It should be offered the same respect as Krishna himself. Just like in the last few weeks we gave the example that one of Prabhupada's early servants in the very early days, he moved Prabhupada's typewriter with his foot. And Prabhupada said, now you must pay your obeisances to the typewriter. Because the typewriter is the paraphernalia of the spiritual master. It is the energy of Krishna being used in his service. Therefore, devotees, we never touch anything with our feet. We never move anything with our feet. Everything we move with our hands. Sometimes you see devotees, they move something with their feet. It's not appropriate. that's actually aparad. Aparad means it is offensive. Because everything belongs to Krishna. It's Krishna's paraphernalia. We should never step over. It says in the Nectar of Devotion, there's 64 offenses to be avoided, which are mentioned in chapter 8. So, one of the offenses is to step over the flowers which are going to be offered to the Lord, just like Mataji is making the garlands. So if someone steps over those flowers, or even over the cloth that those flowers are on, that's an aparad. It's an offense. When we come into the temple, sometimes the devotees, it is packed. Sometimes on a festival, there's hundreds of devotees in here. Everyone's so tied together, you can't walk through. You can't step over the devotees, because the devotees are the Lord's associates. They are the Lord's paraphernalia. They should be offered the same respect as the Lord. So one cannot step over. If you're in a crowd of devotees and you need to get through, then you put your hand down near the ground and slowly move and indicate to the devotees that you need them to make a path so that you can pass through. But you don't just step over the devotees. You don't step over any of the Lord's paraphernalia. It is considered to be aparad, offensive. So the Bhagavatam teaches us that the Lord and the Lord's paraphernalia should be given the same respect. Should be given the same level of respect and
importance.
Yeah, importance. And you can even say worship. Everything should be given the same respect. That's why the Lord's paraphernalia is as good as the Lord. So we treat it as good as the Lord. Everything which is on the altar, we should see it as being the Lord's own paraphernalia. Just like if something belongs to the spiritual master. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, or Prabhupada, mentions in the purports that the spiritual master is known as the Ashraya Vigraha. Vigraha means? No, it means form. Right? It means form. Vigraha. Ashraya means shelter. The spiritual master is Shakshad Dari Twena. Samasta Shastriya. Shakshad Hari. He is empowered by Krishna. So because the guru is empowered by Krishna, he is said to be a representative of Krishna. He is said to be offered the same respect or the same worship as Krishna. Because he is empowered by Krishna. That's why he is known as the Ashraya Vigraha. The spiritual master is seen to be a form of the Lord. Krishna says in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Acharyamam Vajaniyam. He says, you should see the Acharya as myself. We should not see the Guru as being different from Krishna. We should see the spiritual master is Krishna's representative. It is not that we're not impersonalists or we're not Mayavadis. In other words, we don't see that the spiritual master is Krishna. Even there's one lecture you can listen, and Srila Prabhupada, he actually says at one point, he says, I am Krishna. And then everyone starts to laugh. And then Prabhupada says, oh, like that. It was like a slip of his tongue. He made a mistake. And then he says it again. He says, I am Krishna. And then he says, oh, and everyone laughs. Everyone laughs again. So Prabhupada was explaining the point. It's not that the spiritual master is Krishna. He is not God. But he is empowered by God. He is the Lord's servant, the Lord's representative. He is giving Krishna's shakti, Krishna's energy, to act like Krishna. Therefore, the Guru is known as Ashraya Vigraha. Ashray means shelter. He is the form of the Lord who gives us shelter. In other words, the spiritual master accepts our service so that he will train us to become qualified to directly serve Krishna in the future. So he is given the same respect as Krishna. He is not Krishna, but he is Krishna's representative. He is empowered by Krishna. So he is given the same respect as Krishna himself. The spiritual master trains the devotees by accepting their service. And you see in the very beginning, quite often, the devotees do not serve the spiritual master very nicely because of a lack of expertise, experience, knowledge. You see in the very early days of our movement how Srila Prabhupada was so merciful and so humble in accepting the service of his early disciples because they did not know what they were doing. Just like Srila Prabhupada had Vyasa Puja. He had his own Vyasa Puja. And Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, said that the position of the guru, it is not an easy position. It is not actually easy for a devotee to take that service. Because the devotee wants to serve Krishna. He wants to be a devotee. But then he has to act as the master to train the devotees. So Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, said, I have to sit on the Vyasasan and I have to train everyone and teach them to sing Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev. The guru has to train the devotees to worship him practically. It's a very difficult position. And it's challenging. Especially if the guru is not a Paramahamsa and he is a sadhaka uplifting himself. And then he has to fight with this situation of wanting to be the servant and accepting the glory. And the tendency of the conditioned soul and the heart is to want to be glorified. So it's very difficult. And that's why some of the gurus have fallen down in the past. Because it's not an easy service to do. It's not easy for everyone to glorify you and then to also remain humble. It's very challenging. Like that. So, Srila Prabhupada, he accepted so much. He was so humble and so tolerant in the very beginning because his disciples did not know what they were doing. Just like in his Vyasa Puja in 1970, he was flying from America to India and they stopped off in Japan. So it was Janmashtami and then they had Vyasa Puja. So then Prabhupada was there and the devotees were having Vyasa Puja for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sitting there in the temple room and devotees were doing the worship, and Prabhupada said, where is Pushpa? Pushpa means?
Flowers.
Flowers. You need flowers to worship the Guru. You need to do Pushpanjali. You need to offer arti. You need to make garlands. Prabhupada said, where is Pushpa? Prabhupada was a bit angry because he saw that they were not knowing what they were doing. He said, where is Pushpa? So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, now he was not a Maharaj at that time, but he was with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, where is Pushpa? So immediately he ran into the kitchen and he said, immediately, he said to the devotees, immediately, cook Pushpa rice. He said, Prabhupada is asking for Pushpa rice, start cooking. And he ran back and he looked at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was just, Prabhupada could, he was, this is what Prabhupada started with. There's even one video. Now you see, Prabhupada did a yajna in Amsterdam. Amsterdam is in Holland. On live television. In the evening time. Live. Prabhupada was on television. Doing a yajna, initiating some disciples. On live television. The cameras are there in the studio. You know, people are watching it in their homes. And Srila Prabhupada, because they did not know what to do and they did not have it together, they did not have it properly organized. And Prabhupada was angry. It was on live television. And Prabhupada saying to them, where is this? Where is that? Where is it? And Prabhupada's chastising everyone. Everyone's like, you know, running in trouble. And then Prabhupada was so like angry, he just like sat back in the Vyasasana. And there was one bhakta, he was not even initiated yet. He'd just been hanging around the temple for a few weeks. And he was standing next to Prabhupada, next to the Vyasasana. He was chanting japa. And Prabhupada was just so disturbed. Prabhupada just sat back like this. And the devotee leaned over to him and he said, "Just chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada looked at him. Yeah. This boy said, "Just chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada just looked at him. And then Prabhupada picked up his beads and just said, "Hare Krishna." Like this. So much incompetence. But Prabhupada, he came in the very beginning and he established the movement. And he was the Ashraya Vigraha. Ashraya means the place of shelter. The form of the Lord, not he, that he is Krishna, but he is Krishna's representative, who accepts our worship so that we can become trained and qualified to serve Krishna. That's why it is necessary for the guru to chastise the disciple, to correct the disciple, in order to purify them. It is said that if the guru does not chastise the disciple and the father does not chastise the son, they will become spoiled. They will become ruined in character. They'll develop bad character. So therefore the guru must correct. That is the guru's selfless service. And it's not easy correcting disciples in Kali Yuga, because even disciple, when you're corrected by the guru, you cannot offer any argument. If the guru cannot correct you, the actual mood of the disciple is he is 100% surrendered to the guru. And if he gets any chastisement or correction by the spiritual master, he accepts that without argument. But in Kali Yuga, the disciples even argue back to the guru. They even challenge the guru. They even disobey the guru's instruction. This is the disqualification in Kali Yuga. So how difficult is it to be a spiritual master in Kali Yuga? I heard my spiritual master say on one lecture, not long before he left this world, he says, "I give instruction," he was speaking to his disciples. He said, "I give instructions to all of you." And he said, "How difficult or frustrating do you think it must be for me? Because I know most of the time you're not even going to follow my instructions." So to be a spiritual master is a very difficult service. And the spiritual master, he takes that position to uplift the conditioned souls, to gradually qualify them so that they can serve Krishna, so that they will become qualified servants of Krishna. So therefore the spiritual master is known as the Ashraya Vigraha. Now, it is described in this particular purport that the devotee, he must, or he can, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is recommending that we become humble by practicing the following meditation. It's a very wonderful meditation which is being given here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says that the earth, what is the earth's name in Sanskrit?
Bhumi.
Bhumi. The earth. The earth, which is always visible to me, is the expansion of the lotus feet of my Lord, who is always to be meditated upon. So, actually, in the Shastra, it says there are seven mothers. What are the seven mothers which are mentioned in the Vedas? The cow? The guru's wife? Just say one, don't take them all. Guru's wife? The cow? Who else? A nurse? Dhatri? Very good. The earth? Yep.
The king's wife.
The king's wife? Two more. Our own mother? She is our mother also. Do not forget your mother. And? He said earth. The Brahmana's wife. Very good. Yeah. So, the guru's wife, the Brahmana's wife, and the king's wife. Those three are our mother. Then, our natural mother, the earth, the nurse, and the cow. These seven are the mothers. Now, when the mothers are not protected in society, society becomes inauspicious. And you see, currently on the earth, things are becoming inauspicious. Okay. So many problems. Mother Earth is not happy. She is our mother. She is to be protected. The mother must be protected under all circumstances. Actually, the American Indians, the Native American Indians in America, the Indians, you know who I'm talking about? Not the Indians who come from Calcutta, but the Native American Indians, right? They have a saying that seven generations, do not make any decision which will affect seven generations of your people. Do not do anything which will affect seven generations. Now look at what is being done to the earth these days. Now look at the problem which was in Japan recently. They still haven't solved it, and it will have long-term effects. Nuclear energy is not an option on the earth. It's not safe. It's not an option. Even electricity and coal, we use coal to generate all this electricity. If you go down to Gippsland, where all this energy comes from, this electricity, it's all generated from coal. Huge pollution going into the atmosphere. It's actually not sustainable. It's actually not acceptable. It's not an acceptable energy source. Which energy sources are acceptable? Those energy sources which were used for thousands of years. Sustainable energy. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj came here recently. He's very much into environment and ecology. And the rest of the Hare Krishna movement needs to get on board. Because sometimes devotees, they're very wasteful. Just like, how many hundreds of times have I said in the last few years, all of you go up here after class, you go up and you get those paper plates, which are coming from trees, which have been cut down in the forest, right? And you get your paper plates, and you eat them and you throw them in the bin, right? Not sustainable. Not sustainable for the earth. Oh, but we don't think about it, right? How many times have we said, get a metal plate? Get your own plate. Don't be lazy, right? And get your own plate. You come to the temple every day, get your plate, right? And this is what Tomoe Krishnamurti said. He was speaking to his disciples. And then he said at the end of the lecture, anyway, none of you will listen to me anyway, so what's the point? I've said this hundreds of times to all of you, right? And still you do it. After class, you'll all go up there and get your paper plates and your styrofoam cups. Styrofoam is actually a very toxic substance which pollutes the atmosphere. Totally unnatural, right? And we use these unsustainable things, these unsustainable energy sources, which harm the earth, which pollute the earth, which are unnatural and unsustainable. And in this way, we are not protecting the earth. But most devotees don't even think like this. Most devotees don't even think about the earth. We walk on the earth every day, right? The earth sustains us. She gives us our food. Everything that we eat, all the grains and all the sabji and all the fruits, everything comes from Mother Earth. She is our mother, but we don't treat her with respect. Devotees are so wasteful so much of the time. This is not actually our philosophy. Just like these days, environmentalism and ecological consciousness is very high in the media. It's very, gives very high attention, and devotees don't even follow it. They throw out so much waste. So much waste. One of the goals of New Brajadam, which is in Hungary, you know, the farm which is being run by Shiva and Swami. One of the goals, because that's probably our most successful rural project in ISKCON at this point in time. One of their goals is to have no waste. Is not to have waste. Throwing out, you shouldn't have garbage. There should not even be garbage at the end of the day. In India for thousands of years, there was no garbage. I remember I went to see my spiritual master in Oxford in 2001, and just before he left this world, and he had a book. And the book was a book of India in the 1920s. pictures of India in the 1920s. And you know what the most noticeable feature was when you look through all the pictures, hundreds of pictures of what India was like in the 1920s? Yeah, it was clean. There was no plastic bags all over the streets. You go to India these days, right? Big mess, right? Because they think, oh, now we're advanced. Instead of taking you go to the store and you buy your bulgur. Instead of taking it home in paper, or in the old days, they used to wrap it in banana leaves, or, oh no, now we're so advanced, we can take it home in plastic. Right? And the plastic does not biodegrade, and it harms the earth. Right? So one of the goals in New Brajdan in Hungary is to not have any waste, and they've minimized it extremely. There's nothing in the garbage bin to take out. The garbage collector comes past, but there's nothing to give to him. Oh no, we're okay. We do everything biodegradable here. Maybe they give something. Or they're managing their own waste, because there will be some waste. You know, preferably not plastic and those kinds of things. But if there is waste, then have your own biodegradable system where it goes back into the earth. This is natural. So this is respecting the mother. This is respecting the earth. And devotees are meant to be in this consciousness. And most of the time, devotees are not in this consciousness. Like I've said hundreds of times, maybe not hundreds, but dozens of times, I've said, stop using those paper plates. Stop using that disposable, you know, those plastic spoons. Just use it, throw it in the bin. Just use it, throw it in the bin. It's creating problems for the earth. It's not ecologically sound. We're supposed to be we are the environmentalists. You know who the original environmentalist is? You know who the original everything is? He's the original environmentalist. He already set it all up. You read Prabhupada's purport. Krishna set it all up. We wrecked it. We wrecked the whole thing. Modern civilization is harming the earth. Right? It's actually an offense to the earth to harm it. Right? So this should be our consciousness as devotees. Not, we're thinking all the time, it's okay, I can just, oh, if it breaks, I'll just buy a new one. No, if it breaks, fix it. Right? That's the old system. Right? Devotees have got this wasteful mentality now, and it's just a product of coming from a materialistic background. Right? Materialistic consciousness. And it's not good. Right? And it's very difficult to become Krishna conscious if you don't have this consciousness of protecting the earth. Because the earth is, as it says here, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, our Acharya, speaking. He says here, the earth, which is always visible to me, is the expansion of the lotus feet of my Lord. Where does the earth come from? We're sitting here right now, right? Stan. Stan means, right, stable place, right? Everything's stable. Why is that? Why do we have stability? We can walk out of the door. We don't have any worries. Right, the earth's not going to go like that, or it's not going to open up and make us drop into the ground. Right? When she does open up and make everyone drop into the ground, or when she does start going like that, it means she's not happy. Right? That doesn't happen when she's happy. Right? She doesn't start going like that. Right? She doesn't go like that in the ocean and send the water over and kills 20,000 people or 200,000 people. She doesn't do that. It says in Lord, if you read in the Bhagavatam, the 9th canto, it says in Lord Ramachandra's time, it was so auspicious, because everyone was following Dharma so perfectly, that it only rained in the night time. Hands up if you'd like it to only rain in the night time. I would. I'd love it. Right? It only rained in the night time. Everyone went to sleep, it rained, everything became moist, so that all the vegetables could grow and all the grains could grow. And you woke up in the morning, and the morning was perfect, the weather was perfect. Right? If the weather is not perfect, that is because of inauspiciousness. That is because of pap. It is because of sin. Just like you see in Melbourne, you know, the weather is all over the place. Because actually Australia is, if you look at Australia, it is the number one per capita. We only have 20...
21
No, I saw it yesterday actually. I think it's 22 and a half. 22.5 million people. Per capita, we are the number one in the world. I don't know how many countries are there in the world, 150 or something. Or I don't know how many. We are number one, the number one most polluting country on the earth. Number one. Most harm to the environment, this country, which you're living in. And you want to become a citizen. Hey, come and live here. You can also help to pollute the earth. Fantastic. The number one polluter of the earth, number one country, is America. They do the most damage, but that's only because they've got 250 million people. We've only got 20 million people. If you take 20 million of them and 20 million of us, we do more damage than they do. Right? Per capita. Right. Now, I'll finish, and then you can make your points. So, this is an unhealthy mentality. And devotees, we have to get out of this mentality. And then it says here, this is the second point that, and basically, this was Prabhupada's message. If you read his purports, this was his message. He spoke in New Vrindavan in 1976, not long before he left this world, and he taught us how to become Krishna conscious by living a simple lifestyle, simple living and higher thinking. To become aware of our environment, to become aware of our impact on the earth. So you can become Krishna conscious when you live in this way. It's very difficult to say, well, I'm Krishna conscious, but I exploit the earth, or I damage the earth. It's very difficult to say that, because actually a devotee is not like that. And we see devotees that may be devotees for many years, very good in their sadhana, but extremely wasteful in the way they deal with the earth. It's not actually a compatible philosophy. Right? It's not Krishna consciousness. Right? Now, the second point, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, which is very instructive and interesting and part of our philosophy, he says, for this reason, you know, he says, all moving and non-moving living beings have taken shelter of the earth and are thus sheltered at the lotus feet of my Lord. For this reason, I should respect every living entity and not envy anyone. In fact, all living entities constitute the Kostubha gem on my Lord's chest. Now, this is an amazing meditation. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, meditate on this. It's an amazing meditation. Krishna has two jewels on his chest, which only he has. Now, what are they? Kostubha mani, which means the Kostubha gem, and that's not a jewel, that's a mark. Srivatsa is a blonde tuft of hair. And the blonde peak, because Krishna doesn't have any hair on his chest. He has a small blonde, because his hair is dark, blackish, but he has a small blonde tuft of hair on his chest. That is Srivatsa. That is the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is manifest on his chest as Srivatsa. He keeps her on his chest. But he has two jewels. One is Kostubha mani, the other one is Vaidurya means diamond. It's not Vaidurya. It's called the moon locket. It is the moon locket. Only Krishna wears this. At night time, when the moon is full, the jewel melts and it goes back into the moonbeams. And then at date when Krishna finishes his night pastimes, then the moonbeams, they congeal or they become hard in his locket. And then during the day, it is a moon locket, it's a jewel, in which the moon beams congeal or harden and stay in the locket and they give off a glow like the moon. He's pretty far out, this guy. No one even comes close. I heard Tamal Krishnamurti say not long before he left this world, actually. People say, why do you worship Krishna as opposed to some other form of God or someone? No one even comes close to Krishna. You know, you go to all the other religions in the world, they don't even know what he looks like, God looks like. And then you come to our religion, we know what God looks like. And then you take all the forms of God, right? And Krishna just surpasses everyone by far. Prabhupada says in the 11th chapter, at the end of the 11th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, he said, fix your mind only on the Shama Sunda form of Krishna. Krishna in Vrindavan. He said, don't even divert your mind to any other form of God. Just fix your mind on Krishna in Vrindavan. Because Krishna in Vrindavan, no one else even comes close. When he does Rasa Leela, the Acharyas say in the 10th canto in the commentary, when he does Rasa Leela, all the other incarnations come to watch the Rasa Leela. Nisringadev comes, Ramachandra comes, Macha comes, everyone comes to watch. That's how far out Krishna is. He's so far out, he attracts all the other incarnations. Like that. So he has Moonlocket and he has Kostubamani. Kostubamani is the most beautiful, most valuable gem. The most beautiful gem. It surpasses every other gem in beauty. And on the gem, it has a cow imprinted on the gem. So there's a cow imprinted on the gem, the Kostubamani. And it is the most valuable, the most prestigious, and the most beautiful of all gems. And it says here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, what is it constituted of? Right? It is made of all of us, all the living entities, which Krishna expands himself into. We all fit back into that gem, and he keeps us on his chest. So at the moment, we're all on Krishna's chest. In the Kostubamani, but we've forgotten. We forget Krishna. At the moment we're with Krishna. Prabhupada even says at the moment we're with Krishna, but we've forgotten. So how we can be on his chest and then simultaneously be running around in Vrindavan with him? I don't know. But it says here that's what's going on. So that's what Krishna is like. He's the most far out. He loves us so much. He keeps all of us on his chest, all the time. All of us. When you really love someone, you keep them close. Just like my mother, she has a locket on her chest. And it has a picture of her sons in that locket. She keeps them on her chest. Right? So when you really love someone, you keep them very, very close to you. Actually, it says that Radharani has a locket on her chest. And guess who is in that locket? Who?
Krishna.
I've never heard of him. Who? No, Krishna. Shama Sundara. She has a locket on her chest. And actually, if you go onto the altar, if you're a Brahmin initiated devotee, and when the devotees are, Pujaris addressing Radharani, if you go and have a look, if you go closer, you'll see she actually has a locket on her chest. If you are in the Didi room, and if you open that locket, you'll see. Krishna is in that locket. So Krishna, he has so much affection for all the devotees, he keeps them on his chest. All of us, we make up the Kostubamani, that is the effulgence, because the soul is effulgent, the Kostubamani is effulgent. Now what is Krishna teaching us? Krishna is teaching us that the devotees are very dear to him. And Krishna says to Arjuna in the Adi Purana, he says, one who says he is my devotee, he is not my devotee. One who says he is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So it means that if you want to please Krishna, if you want to come close to Krishna, you need to become dear to Krishna's devotees. And Krishna's devotees need to become dear to you. Krishna is watching us all the time. Just like I said to one of Prabhupada's disciples, one sannyasi, I said to him, I was talking to him a few years ago, and I said, these devotees who I am associated with, I said, we do so much for them, but they do not reciprocate. And he said, that is okay. He said, Krishna is watching you, he is testing. Even if the devotees do not reciprocate with us so much, but we should make them very dear to us, and we should humbly serve them. And then gradually that will soften their heart. And they will see by that example of selfless service, and they will also become selfless in consciousness. So Krishna has so much affection for his devotees, and we should also develop that affection for his devotees. And actually, this is how to develop taste for chanting. Hands up if you have taste for chanting. Good. A few of you do, but most of us don't. Some people have taste for chanting, but many devotees don't have taste for chanting. Why don't we have a taste for chanting? Because Mahaprabhu says, if you want Nam Ruchi, or taste for chanting, you must do Vaishnava Seva. You must serve Vaishnavas. Not in a mechanical way. Not like you come to the temple, you say, okay, Krishna, I'm going to serve Vaishnavas, and you run upstairs and you serve everyone out prasadam, and then you run back down and say, see, I served so many Vaishnavas. Not like that, it's with the heart. You serve them out of love. You serve them because you care about them. You want to protect them. You want to make sure, are they okay? Are the devotees okay? This is the mood of the devotee. And when Krishna sees you have that mood, then you become very dear to Krishna. That is the mood. Then Krishna wants to see that mood. Even if we don't get so much reciprocation, it doesn't matter. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, before he became Bhakti Tirtha Swami, his name was Ghanashyam Prabhu. And he was famous in our movement because whenever there was a festival at Mayapur and all the devotees came from all over the world, he would serve every devotee prasadam until everyone was finished, and then he would take something. And he was famous. And devotees used to feel like it was a special highlight of the festival to be served by Ghanashyam Prabhu. To be served by Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who then became Bhakti Tirtha Swami. It was like a special privilege. And that was his mood. And you actually see him, if you ever met him, that was his mood. He didn't care for himself. He only thought about everyone else all the time. And that is what a devotee is. So we're not like that yet, but we should try to become like that. That's what sadhana is, means practicing. So these two things, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, respect the earth and serve all living entities. All living entities on the earth. Not some of them, all of them. This is Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop here and see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Just speak a little something. It's a big challenge for our movement right now. It's a big challenge. It's one of the major challenges our movement. See, Prabhupada set it all up. Prabhupada set it all up. Right? He brought New Vrindavan, our first farm, in 1967. Right? We've had 44 years and we still haven't got farms which produce milk. Our movements, you know, we've failed in so many ways. Prabhupada already said he brought the farms. You know, he brought Mawulambara in 1977. He brought New Vrindavan in 1967. He already had the whole thing worked out. He already had all the, and we have not done it. So what I say to people, because people do, and even my wife, she's becoming vegan now for that reason. She's not 100%, but she's definitely going that direction. I know many devotees who are. David Marita Swami told everyone in New Zealand, you have to do it. Like that. It's something which our movement has to face. You know, we have to get to the point where we produce our milk. And the only reason I say to people, the only reason I do drink milk is because Srila Prabhupada, even though he knew all these things, even back then. He said, still, milk is such a valuable substance, we should offer it to the deity, and we should take that prasad. So we do it on Prabhupada's, and he knew back then, he knew what the slaughterhouses were like. But then there's this part of his mission which has not been fulfilled. Now Prabhupada, his vision wasn't that we keep drinking commercial milk. His whole vision was our movement produces its milk and supplies. That was Prabhupada's vision, and we haven't done it yet. So yes, it is something which our movement is facing, something, you know, people say it to me as well, and I say, well, you know, for that reason, but in our heart we still don't feel right. You know, we say, yes, I do take milk, because, and then I explain because Prabhupada, you know, even that. And we're trying to fight the world with knowledge. You know, one way to fight it is with veganism. Okay, you abstain from milk, and that's laudable, and that's acceptable, and that's good. Another way to fight it is by trying to preach and make everyone become vegetarian and not harm the cows and do that. So we are fighting against it. But still, it makes us feel very uneasy, and it's something we're going to have to face.
Subject, if I really believe it costs us a heck of a lot of devotees, that exact subject costs us heaps of devotees. People that come.
So then we're going to have to get it together. I mean, what's the use? We've been talking about it for 40 years, and 45 years, and we still haven't got it together. Like, how many farms now movement produce milk? Hardly any. And sooner or later, we're going to have to get it together. You know, and part of our movement is to make the farm successful. And it's very difficult to make the farm successful. I've been there for 4 years. It's very difficult to make them successful. And we're just slowly starting to go in the right direction. And Prabhupada said it will take time. But, you know, so many people have come to the farms and gone and come to the farms and gone. Because devotee, once again, as we said earlier, to live on the farm and to live... The reason the farms aren't successful is we don't live on the farms the way Prabhupada asked us to live on the farms. And he said, live on the farms simply. If you want to live on the farm and live like you're in the city, it doesn't work. And in due course of time, you go back to the city. And that's what happens. They all come, they all sit on the farm, they all go back to the city. Or they all come and sit on the farm and they live like they're in the city. It doesn't work. And that's why we're not producing our food, right? We're not producing our milk, right? And that was Prabhupada's whole vision. He said, become independent from outside society. And the only farm, or not the only farm, but the most successful model we seem to have is Hungary, where the devotees are producing most of their own food and most of their own milk. And so we need to emulate that and follow that. But after class, everyone go up and eat off paper plates, and it was a nice, yeah, it was a nice class. Yeah, it was a good class. And everyone kept on us. And that's the bottom line truth. And, you know, Covey, Stephen Covey, is very famous. He's like a management guru. Yeah, management guru. About how to manage, right? In the 90s, he wrote some books which were very, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And he wrote another book called Principle-Centered Leadership. The reason our movement fails, right, and the reason our movement is not spreading more than it is because we don't have principles. Even most devotees don't have principles. Devotees compromise all day. Right? But when you meet, like Devamrita Swami said in New Zealand, right, no one drinks milk. Right? From slaughterhouses. That's a principle. Right? And then everyone followed the principle, and then what happened? Right? Devotees started milking cows. Oh, no milk, no milk. Okay. Oh, where do you get... Oh, from cows. Okay, let's start milking. Right? It's not much different. It's a little bit better. The organic, when it says organic milk, it means it's that much better. But when the cow stops producing milk, same.
I live next door to that organic, the only organic dairy in North Queensland, up near Malanga. They still slaughter the veal every year.
It's the same thing. It's the same industry. The only difference is they feed the cow grass which doesn't have chemicals on it. That's it.
I've got to say, if Mert Willembar is trying to do that sort of thing, instead of not producing 9 litres of milk a day from their cows, and they're actually selling it, you know, they're making...
Yeah, they stopped doing that, but anyway, I understand, yeah, you're right.
They were doing enough until this year.
Yeah, but they've stopped.
Again, it's stuff.
Yeah. But I understand your point. The point is they are producing milk, yes, which is good. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why we take the milk. That's why I tell people we take the milk. And we are fighting the industry. Because we are preaching our philosophy. And we are telling people to stop slaughtering animals. And we're telling people to practice a vegetarian diet. We are fighting the industry. But, you know, another way of fighting is by becoming vegan. So, and it is a difficult issue which our movement is facing.
Another thing I noticed the other day was we went to the shards finished and now we ended all chucking the rubbish bins and all those, as well as the pit cardboard. So I wondered why each week when people come down from our farm, for instance, and go back on the Wednesday, why it's put into a tub and then taken back and into compost, and even the cardboard and the paper can be shredded and used in those bins. And so each week when somebody goes back to the farm, you take the tray all over back.
Yeah, when somebody goes back to the farm, that means me.
Well,
and when 4 years ago when I started coming here, we used to take all the veggie scraps back in big tubs. But most weeks I haven't got room in my car because I'm taking other stuff back, so I can't do it on a weekly basis. We do it, and we have done it. But it's a whole system.
Consistency.
Yeah, I mean, devotees have to take up, like, I can't do everything.
Yeah.
Like, devotees have to take up a system. I understand your point. It's a good point.
So if I get a vehicle with a trailer, take it down,
I'm not going to complain. If someone's going to do it, then that's good. That's what we should be doing. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Srila Prabhupada key.
Yeah.
Not eating on paper plates key. And I am going to get on your case if I see you doing it.